listeners to the Crippled Crisp Review. I'm Marijn, or Captain Kane.
And I'm Sam, or Braze Boy.
And as you might have heard, we finally have a title for our podcast. This is no longer a pilot. We are now in episode 1, season 1.
Yeah.
We are kind of done with doing pilots.
Yeah, we're now stepping up and going to do some stewards instead.
Or stewardesses.
And let's dive right into the topic you all are here to listen to. Let's do a crisp preview. We have a very special crisp for you here today. It's the Nibbit. It's a potato-y nice little nibble. Small potato rings, and we have the Cheetos Nibbit. It's a big bag.
So let's open the bag.
The smell is kind of salty.
Is it vegetarian?
It's vegetarian. Before,
it's vegetarian.
Like every other crisp is, it's vegetarian. And important news is they're all ring shaped, but you have three different colors.
Yeah, you have red, you have yellow, and you have white.
Yeah.
I would describe it like that.
Red is paprika, yellow is cheese, white is original flavor.
Yes.
You want to taste one?
Well, let me start with a nice red one here.
I will start with a nice yellow one.
Crunchy?
No.
And yes, I do taste the paprika, yeah.
I don't really taste cheese in it.
Originals are very salty, mainly.
Yeah.
And the yellow ones, I don't know if it's cheese, but I like them the best.
I like the red ones the best. The paprika speaks to me. Yeah, yeah. Now, let's do a quick roundup. Flavor, salty, faint. Taste, also salty, but you can taste three different flavors in the three different rings.
And the taste is very addictive. When I open a bag, I must finish it.
Yeah. And the crunch is near perfect. It competes with the Krupuk of last week.
Yes, the consistency of the crisp is a little different than the cassava Krupuk. They melt in your mouth.
What mark would you give them?
I would give these 3.5 bags.
3.5 out of 5. I agree.
I have a little surprise for you. They also have a home brand knockoff at Albert Heijn, which is a big supermarket. They are called Knobbles.
Yeah.
Which is basically a rough translation of Nibbit. So let's see how these taste.
Yeah.
I'll open the bag.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, these smell a little bit stronger. I see just two colors. Yeah. This is just red and yellow. And I'll try a red one to start with.
I try a yellow one again. This one is more cheesy.
The red one is also paprika, but the paprika taste is a little bit stronger than with the Nibbit.
Yeah, paprika is, I think it's smoked paprika actually. I like it more than the other one. No, this is actually quite a good alternative. And these are cheaper, right?
I think these are cheaper.
This is not only a price saver, this is a flavor saver.
Yeah, well, and I think the crunch of these is a little bit better. They're a little bit crunchier than the Nibbits.
Quick roundup. Smell, still faint, salty. Taste, stronger, more cheese, more paprika. Yeah. Texture, I would say near perfect crunch.
Yeah, this is very good.
This is top 2 crunch.
And that for a low price. They were cheaper than the original Nibbits, and I believe the Nibbits were €1 a bag.
Yeah, so let's say 4 out of 5.
I agree, 4 out of 5.
Last week, Marijn told a beautiful story about him enjoying the toilets in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And we want to introduce this because everybody of our listeners probably knows that we have a disability and we have disability stories. That's the name of the segment. I have one for this week. I walked into the trams, and Dutch trams or Amsterdam trams, you should know, have special assigned seats for pregnant ladies, women with small children, or people with a disability. And those normal seats are marked with blue lining.
Yeah.
And the special reserved seats are marked with red lining on which they depicted small images of people walking with a cane, or pregnant women, or women with small children. So it's quite clear which seat is meant for somebody like me, who comes in with a walking stick, or Marijn indeed. It's quite clear which chair is meant for us. What happened 1.5 weeks ago? I walk into the tram, I check in, I look at the special assigned seat for me, there's somebody sitting on there, looking at their phone, listening to music. The seat next to her, which is a normal blue seat, there's a lady there with like 5 suitcases. This woman sees me with my leg, she looks me in the eye and she mumbles, "Oh, do you want to sit here?" I say, "Yes, please." She grabs her 5 suitcases, puts them in a corner, stands up in another corner and offers me the seat. So I sit down, and on the moment my bottom hits the fabric of the chair, this lady on the other chair, the specially assigned disability chair, says, "Oh, I could have stood up as well." So she thought it, so she did, she just pretended that she didn't see us. Only when the situation was already resolved, oh, she chose to say something.
It sounds so Dutch.
It's an amazingly Dutch. This is what disgusts me about Dutch people, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, our experiences in Edinburgh were entirely different.
Yeah, people there were
fighting to give up their place for someone with a disability.
Yeah. No, because one of the friends of my parents, he's from Italy, or he lived in Italy for a long time. Mm-hmm. He always said, like, the Dutch, you can clearly see that the Dutch are descendants of 2 groups of people. Either they are farmers, descendants of farmers, or they are descendants of pirates. Because that's how they talk with each other. That's how they treat other people. They either treat you as if they are farmers and they didn't have an education in how you should treat people, or they treat you as if they are pirates and they don't care how they should treat people. And I think that's a perfect description of the Dutch people. So, farmers or pirates.
Or fishermen, which is basically farming in a pirate way.
No, but this was my story about our disability lives.
You said that you have some holiday plans for later this year, that you want to go to Morocco, and to be more specific, to Marrakesh.
That's true.
I've been to Marrakesh once, and I thought it was very nice. It is a beautiful city, with good weather, of course.
I'm really interested in the culture. I really want to see this city. It's some amazing architecture, especially in the old city. You told me a little bit about the market.
There's one big market square in Marrakesh, and when you enter that market, it's really a big square. When you enter it, it feels like if you're in Indiana Jones, Raiders, The Lost Ark. There are monkeys there, there are bears there, there are snake charmers there. Food is prepared right in front of you. If you want to buy a chicken, which is possible, you can buy them there, and they chop off their head right in front of your face.
And do they also sell camels there?
Possibly. How so?
17 years ago, when I was 10 years old, me and my parents, we visited Egypt. And then we were just walking around the market as well. And there was this man who wanted us, my mother, my father's wife, for 100 camels.
100 camels?
100 camels. And indeed, this is a high number, ladies and gentlemen. So we were...
How old was your mother back then?
I'm not answering that comment.
Okay.
This is all part...
Best answer.
Of course, my dad and I, we were intrigued. Because 100 camels, that sounds very, very interesting. Especially if you know that a camel goes for about 775 euros.
You can build up some life savings there.
You can build up some... So we were intrigued. So we started haggling. And eventually, we could sell our mother... My mother, my father's wife, off for 150 camels.
150 camels?
But of course we didn't, because slave trading is very hard to explain on your tax returns. Something that is interesting, that 17 years ago we didn't have this technology yet, but we are now in a new day and age. It's now 2017.
Yeah, but how did they come up with that number?
Yeah, I don't know. That's probably the finger spitting a fool. It is something that
it
you
must
learn
be something like that.
It's something you learn in the trade. But something that is interesting that you nowadays, one of my colleagues actually showed me this. You have a website. So the website is called camelrechner.eu.
We'll put a link down in the description below.
In this website, you can choose if you want to sell off a male or a female. They actually say, do you want to sell your boyfriend or your girlfriend? For instance, if you want to sell off a male, let's start because this one is up. You answer short questions about how old is this your boyfriend, how tall is he, what is his hair color, what is his hair length, what is his eye color, how is his beard done, and what is his body type. And then it calculates how many camels you are worth. And with your girlfriend, it's a little bit different. It also asks boob size, because this is very important. The rest is... What is really interesting that we calculated our worth, and Marijn, well, maybe you want to share yours?
Well, you calculated
my
camel...
Yeah. I'm looking for a new comedy buddy, and Marijn is worth 63 camels, and for people...
63?!
Yeah, 63 and no less than that. And I am worth 59.
Well, if you have 59 camels lying around...
Yeah.
You know what you can get for that. I don't know if people want that. I just don't know.
Honest
question.
I don't know either. But let's go on... with the next topic. Yeah, trivia of the podcast.
It's your favorite bit, I guess. And you had a nice one for this week.
It's about amounts of stuff. You may have heard of this. It's a number. It's not a really famous number, but it's connected with a really famous company that you might have heard of. It's called Google. It's a really big number. The number is... 10 to the power of 100. So it's a 1 with 100 zeros behind of it. And which is very interesting in the story of this number. This number was found out in 1920 by a 9-year-old boy called Milton. His uncle was Edward Kästner, the famous American mathematician. Who doesn't know him? Milton was very interested in numbers, and he was very interested in how numbers were named. So his uncle told him all these big names for numbers, like sexdecillard, who doesn't have that much money on their bank accounts, or a billion or whatever. And then Milton asked, but what is the name for 10 to the power 100? And then his uncle told him, not there yet. So this kid came up with a name, which was Google. And eventually there came a little couple of years later, there came this three boys that were good with computers that wanted to give their search engine a new name. And they were good at coding, but not that good at spelling. So they misspelled Google, because the number is spelled G-O-O-G-O-L. And the search engine, as we all know, is spelled G-O-O-G-L-E. But they still... are trying to get to that Google amount of dollars in their bank accounts. And I think they're quite close, actually.
I'm going to have another knubble, because I could eat a Google of these.
Yeah, Google is also the amount of money we ask if you want to put us on the commercial television.
Yeah, if we want to, if you want to buy us or whatever.
Yeah. Google is
Google is the price.
Google is the price. And I think this is the podcast of this week, right?
That was it. That was it for this week. Please write down any comments, suggestions down below.
Write a review on iTunes. Subscribe, share, like. You know the drill.
Yes, do it. And that is how the crisp crunches.